Rokan Show. Right here on WGN. 3 to 7 every afternoon, in case anybody asks. All right, now, number of stories in the media this morning, local media this morning, about this video that has now surfaced showing a CTA supervisor in an encounter with police at a crime scene, actually at a train station in Chicago. We're going to have her explain exactly what happened on her happened here. Her lawyer is with her. Her name is Martessa Lee, and thank you so much for being with us, Ms. Lee. And Jordan Marsh is her attorney. Now, I want to go back and let you tell your side of the story here, as without me telling it, because it's your story, right? So you're a supervisor, and there was an incident in a subway station. And at that subway station, you were on break, but you get called in to take over, become the incident commander at this. Am I right about that?
I actually was on my way to work for my second half, and yes, I was on a train that was potentially stopped at Jackson Station, the northbound train. Mm-hmm. And yes, they needed a supervisor on the scene to become the incident commander because they didn't have no one, you know, to give information and what was going on. So yes, I was on that train, and in the event of that, the power was cut. So I stepped off the train to see what was going on, and it was a Caucasian male on the right of way. I think he was trying to retrieve his guitar, and once he got back up, he walked up to me and told me that he was stabbed. So I sat him down and I made a call to the control center through my radio to let them know that we needed medical and what was going on.
And you were wearing it. Let me just stop for a second. You were wearing a radio, right? You had like what would look like a police radio too, right? It's got the
It's actually the same radio, a Motorola radio. Yes.
Right. And did you have a vest on too?
No, I didn't have a vest. I had my my jacket. I had my whole full supervisor uniform. My hat with my badge, with my badge number and everything. It says CTA supervisor. It has my badge. Everything was visible.
So it was clear that you were a supervisor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now you get off the train. This is a guy that, just to be to get past this part of the story, but it's an important part, though, which is this guy was like a musician who was playing
down.
Yeah,
he's a local musician that plays at Jackson. He plays the guitar. He's with like a little band. They always there. They play music. You know, they're harmful.
Okay, so and he was confronted by a woman with a knife who swung the knife at him, took his guitar, threw it down onto the tracks, right? He went down to go get it. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So when you come out, you're – all right. So now you're there, and you've advised everybody that this incident had happened, and then let's talk about your incident with the police. Then what occurred?
Okay, so once in the midst of me calling for medical, of course, you know, they're not going to arrive on the scene at that moment. So, you know, I'm just communicating back and forth. They asked me, you know, has medical came on the scene, and I'm, you know, communicating back and forth. So they needed another update. And then I told them, you know, when medical came, and they asked me to assess the situation to see if trains could either stop there or did they need to bypass. And as I'm walking along the pillars on the northbound train. It's like pillars, like big metal things.
Right.
That in between of the platform, I'm walking by the pillars, and I'm assessing the situation. And in the midst of that, the officer comes behind me and grabs and moves me to the blue tactile. And I turn around and tell him, don't put his hands on me, because I'm talking to the troll trying to do my job. And he comes behind me and forcefully moves me. So I had words with him. I did tell him, don't you ever put your hands on me, because I'm trying to do my job just like he's trying to do his job. There was no yellow tape. It wasn't deemed a crime scene. It was nothing stating that it was a crime scene. Once again, I was the first one on the scene before the medical and the police. So it was nothing that said it was a crime scene. And after he forcefully moved me, I walked away and I continued my job. And I also painted a white shirt and I kind of flagged him down.
Okay, so let me explain. Let's go back and explain that. So you saw an officer, I guess it was a sergeant in this particular case, but the bosses wear white shirts and the officers wear blue shirts, essentially.
Yes,
and
that's a white shirt too as well. So that's how I knew that he was in a higher authority, that I can talk to him and get some type of hope to get what happened to me. But I also stated to him that once we're done handling business, we can discuss that later. And once I told him of the incident of his officer moving me, he asked me, why did he do that? And I told him I had no idea why. And he was like, okay, so if I call him over here and he tells me that you're obstructing a crime scene, I'm going to arrest you. And I was so baffled and I was confused on how it was that I was telling you that one of your officers mishandled me and you're going to arrest me for telling you that your officer touched me or grabbed me inappropriately. I was confused on what was going on. So he basically repeated himself, are you sure you want to do this? And he asked me, was I the supervisor? I told him yes. He's like, you sure you want to do this? Because if I call him over here, and he says, you obstructed a crime scene, I'm going to arrest you.
Even though you were working the crime scene?
Yes. I was the incident commander.
Right. Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on. I want to come back to your story, and then we'll get some phone calls in as well. And I have a couple of questions for your lawyers also with us. Martessa Lee is with us. She's a CTA supervisor who is the stories in the papers today. The Tribune's got a particularly great version of it. Stacey St. Clair wrote that about this incident that she had on the tracks doing her job with police officers who threatened to arrest her if she lodged a complaint against a police officer for touching her while she was working her job. We'll come back and we'll take your phone calls. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. But first, here is Lauren Lapka. She's got the WGN traffic.
Do you want to have her arrested for obstructing our crime scene? She could laugh all she wants, but she cannot obstruct our crime scene. Was she obstructing our crime scene?
She did not. When I told her, I said, maybe we got to get out of the crime scene. She didn't listen. I told her several times. That's when
I'm on the radio. He didn't see her. He got to go outside. He pushed me from behind.
We can look at my body cameras.
We sure can.
Okay, arrest her. Okay. Put your hands behind your back.
That's Martessa Lee, being arrested, CTA supervisor, who was investigating a crime scene as a CTA supervisor, walked across the crime scene, was stopped by a police officer for walking across. Actually, her arm was grabbed, Martessa, is that correct? He touched you, you turned, you reacted to him because he had touched you, and you confronted him, he confronted you back. You went to his supervisor, said to the supervisor, who was on the sergeant on the scene, and said, hey, I want to file a complaint. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then the sergeant said back to you, well, if you file a complaint, that means I'm going to ask him if you were in the crime scene. If you were in the crime scene, then you were technically obstructing justice, and I will have you arrested for that. And that part of the tape that we just played right there from body cam video is them cuffing you as a result of it. All right. Now, at that moment when you were being cuffed, what was going through your head?
I was confused, hurt. I've just been violated. My rights have just been violated. And then again, I'm coming to the supervisor because I'm a supervisor for help. I didn't want him to get him fired. I didn't want anything. I just wanted him to let him know that his officer mishandled me while trying to do my job, and to make him aware of it. And it was just like a bullying after that. It was him. It was the sergeant and the officer against me, and I just felt bad, humiliated, sad, all of the above. Mm-hmm.
And now, what? How did this dispose? What happened after they had cuffed you?
You said what happened?
Yeah.
What happened? Okay, after they cuffed me, you know, I didn't put up a threat. I let them do whatever they needed to do because I'm still in shock of what's going on. I'm literally trying to help them. And they assist them with their job. And me being handcuffed, I didn't understand why I was being handcuffed and why I was being arrested for doing my job. And I literally asked and told him, like, I wanted to let you know that one of your officers put their hands on me. And they came back with, well, if you're going to complain, then basically I'm going to lock you up. I was so out of it after that. Like, I couldn't understand why I was being locked up when I was only there to help.
Did they charge you? Did they take you somewhere, or did they take the handcuffs off? What happened at the end there?
No, they didn't charge me. I was in the handcuffs for about 8 minutes, and they didn't charge me because they didn't warrant arrest. I didn't do anything. What are you arresting me for? They didn't do anything. They basically bullied me and humiliated me so that I wouldn't complain.
So another little interesting side note of this story is that it was actually on television. It was being used as they showed this story on TV, and they showed your hands handcuffed as they were doing a voiceover of what the actual crime was, and it left the impression, at least you and your attorney believe it left the impression that it was you who had committed the crime as opposed to the perpetrator, who was a knife wielding woman who obviously was troubled when she went after this busker, essentially this guy just playing a guitar in the subway.
Exactly, and that's even more. I'm already humiliated in front of my peers and the public and media, and then to have me on camera in handcuffs looking like I was the one that did the stabbing, and I'm literally in full uniform and handcuffs doing my job. It left a bad taste in my mouth, and it also makes me distrust CPD, and I just can't work alongside with them anymore.
Martessa, what's interesting about your story today, as I was reading it in the Tribune, is that you, because you're a supervisor for the CTA, you were also wearing a white shirt. This is important. The white shirt, blue shirt thing is important, and we have to keep reminding people what that means. The white shirts are the supervisors, the blue shirts are the officers, essentially, in terms of police for the city, for CPD. So if you wanted to get help, you, as a white shirt, went to another white shirt, and you're just basically saying, hey, your guy didn't do the right thing here, by your estimation, and he, as opposed to sort of everybody being on the same team. I think there was one moment where you described it as, you're on the same side with the police.
Exactly.
You're trying to investigate this from the perspective of the CTA to make sure that the trains can continue to run, because this crap happens all the time in the subway and also,
I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
That happening.
So now, where are we left now? Where are we left now? Is it you were not charged, but you what kind of justice are you or your attorney here seeking? I don't know who wants to answer that question, but go ahead.
My attorney can answer it for you.
Okay.
Well, what we're seeking essentially is to hold the officers accountable. Using the civil justice system and vindicate Martessa's right to, which this should not be an exotic concept, to be able to complain about a police officer without fear of arrest. That seems like we should have been beyond that a long time ago, but apparently we're not. And so we've got a First Amendment claim in the sense that they were intimidating her from essentially exercising her First Amendment rights to complain about a police officer, and we've got a retaliatory arrest claim and a false arrest claim because they had no probable cause to arrest her for anything, let alone essentially what they did was arresting her for complaining about police misconduct.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that strikes me about this story is it really, to me, it strikes at the heart of where we are when we are now just looking at each other and misunderstanding each other. And Martessa, your reaction to the officer coming up and touching you, and there's another part where you were holding up your microphone to show that you were for your CTA radio to say, hey, I'm working here, right? Is that what you were trying to indicate to the police officer?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted him. He was on the phone at one point too when I turned around. Like, we both were doing our job. I don't know where the disconnect came, that he felt that he had to put his hands on me to do his job. I will never put my hands on nobody to do my job. I have a voice and I have words, and I went to college to show that I can use my words versus my hands. It's about power, and I don't have to use my power to get to somebody.
All right. I think what your story indicates, because the great debate that we've been having here for the last number of weeks is you know, when people are doing the wrong thing and police have to intervene, how do you, how do they intervene in a way that de-escalates it based on what the person was doing wrong in the first place? And if it's a murderer running away from a scene, well, then it is what it is. But if it's somebody jaywalking, or if it's somebody, you know, in a more minor sort of situation, how can that be de-escalated? And I think this goes to the issue that truly is at the heart of our problem here, is that I think that the experience of white people in America is so different as it pertains to law enforcement of black people, because when you're even doing the right thing, you can be a suspect. And the officer does not necessarily have to be white or black in that situation. It's just what their reaction is. And that's where the conversation has to start. And I'm as big a supporter of the police. I'm sure, Marteza, you are as well, going into this. But what I think needs to be understood here is that maybe a new perspective has to take place. And your story is an excellent example of it. All right. I want to thank you both for being with us. Appreciate it. Jordan, thank you for giving us Marteza to be with us. Marteza Lee, CTA supervisor. You continue to have your job at the CTA, and that continues to go on. We'll see what happens, ultimately in the courts, in terms of the civil action. But thank you for telling your story. And as a Chicagoan, and as a CTA writer, as a Venture card holder, I'm sorry that happened to you, because I know how hard you guys work and how difficult those circumstances can be down there in the subway and also up on the platforms. So thank you for what you do. We got news coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine in 1 minute.